This week's parsha is Ki Sisa, and what I like to do is something we've discussed about in the past, which is probably the event in this parsha, which of course is the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. And specifically, what I want to do is focus on the opinion and the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban has a very interesting way of looking at the Chet HaEgel, where he really tries to minimize the sin of the Jewish people. And at first glance, the first time I looked at it, it seems like he seems to be giving the Jewish people an easy pass. He seems to be too quick to excuse their behavior and their actions. But after looking at it a little bit more, I think really what the Ramban is doing is really telling us and teaching us when we do make mistakes, and when we do commit certain transgressions, whether against God or whether against another person, we often can justify our actions, and often initially we can very readily explain why we did what we did, and it seems to in many ways even make sense. But then there's always a certain point, or there's a certain fine line where it sort of crosses a threshold, where it may begin with something which is quite innocuous, or something which is maybe even allowed, permitted, justified. But then at a certain point, we go past a certain red line, where we cross something that we shouldn't, and then it transforms into what perhaps initially was acceptable. And even correct to then again very subtly turning into something which much worse than it began, and in other words, we're not bad people. We're not people that are out to hurt, to harm, to rebel against God, to hurt another person. And sometimes we do things that again we think that are okay or acceptable, but if we're not careful, so sometimes we can cross that line. And I think that's what Ramban tries to do when he explains the entire episode of Chet HaEgel. So I'm not going to go through the entire commentary. He spends a it's very lengthy and spends a lot of time, and obviously there's a lot of dialogue in this entire story. So you really have to look at his entire approach throughout. But let me just show you a couple of highlights. So let's just first read the psukim, the initial psukim that described the initial sin. Vayara'am ki boshesh Moshe l'redes. This is the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, that the nation sees that Moshe has tarried, that he's delayed in the descending minahar from the mountain. Vaykahel ha'am al Aaron, and the people gather against Aaron. Vayomru elav, and they say to him, Kuas say him, go make for us. Let's translate this as a god, or as gods. Asher yelchu lefanil, that will go before us. Ki zeh Moshe ish asher halanu me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu me'alo. If this Moshe who took us out of Egypt, we don't know where he is, what happened to him. Now, from that pasuk alone, this sounds awful. Right? It sounds really bad. Right? Make for us a god? What happened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And yet they're saying, make for us a god who will go before us, who will lead us. We don't know where Moshe is. What happens next? Vayomer Eliyahu Aharon, so Aharon responds, Parku dizmei hazav asher bazne nishechem, bneichem v'noseichem, v'yoy lai. So it seems like Aharon is like, okay, bring me all the gold, the rings, bring me the all the pieces of jewelry that your wives have, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So the people follow that instruction, that directive of Aaron. Aaron. So he takes them, takes the gold. Yatzar oso becharet, and he bound it in some sort of cloth. And lo and behold, he makes this golden calf. By Yomer, when the people say, "Elo Lokecha Yisrael, this is your God Israel," Asher Yaduchem Eretz Yitzrayim, brought you out of Egypt. Vayar Aaron, and Aaron sees, Vayivim Mizbech Lefanav, and he builds an altar. Vayikra'aron, Vayomar, and Aaron says to the people, Chag L'Hashem Machar, there's a holiday to God tomorrow. Vayashkimu Mimacharas, they get up the next morning, Vayu'alos, and they bring sacrifice, Vayigishu Shamim, they bring all burnt offerings, they bring peace offerings, Vayeshavam Lachol, Vishasu, the people eat, and they drink, Vayakumu L'tzachek, and they begin to make merry. So just two more psukim. So that's what's happening. Now God interjects himself. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe. God speaks to Moshe. Moshe is on the mountain. Lech rev, go down, kishichei samcha, for the people have corrupted. Asher leisam yitzran, you brought up from Egypt. They've acted in a corrupt manner. Saru meher min aderech asher titzam, they have turned away from the path that I have commanded them. Asulam igel masecha, they made for themselves a golden calf. Vayishtachvulo, and they bowed down to it. Vayizbechulo, and they brought sacrifice to it. Vayomu, and they said, Elokecha Yisrael, this is your God Israel, Sheluchem Eretzayim, brought out of Egypt. And now God gets all angry, and he wants to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe, Vayichal Moshe, Moshe has to interject and plead for their forgiveness. Okay, so that's the psukim again, and it sounds pretty bad. Pretty bad when I'm reading the story. But the Ramban suggests the following. The Ramban says that this initial pasuk of, again, the people saying, make for us a God, they'll go before us, because this man, Moshe, we don't know where he is, we don't know what to do now. He says, read a few lines. This initial pasuk is the key to understand the whole idea of the golden calf. And what were the intentions of the people who made it? He says it can't be that the people thought that Moshe himself was a god. And that Moshe did all the miracles. So what did they mean when they said the fact that they don't know where Moshe is, now we need a new god? It doesn't make sense. They knew who God was. They cried out to God when they were in Egypt. Odin, furthermore, we want a God who will go before us. They didn't ask for a God who would like give them life in this world and life in the next world. But they asked for something very specific. Right? They asked for this Elohim that would go before us in the desert, that would lead them. So the Ramban is suggesting they weren't asking for an idol to worship. They weren't asking for a quote unquote a new god. What they were asking for was something to direct them in the desert. And again, we have to put ourselves in their shoes. They're in the middle of nowhere. They're in a desolate place. They don't know where they're going. What they're going to, where are they going to settle? Again, and it could be that they know that in Israel there's people living there. Like, where are they going to go? How are they going to survive? And the person who's been leading them this whole time, who's convinced them to go on this journey, has disappeared. And they're afraid, and they're scared. So what were they asking for, says the Ramban? They wanted another Moshe. Amu Moshe Sharolonu. Moshe is the one who has guided us, who has led us, who has showed us the way from Egypt until now. Right? They knew that God had directed Moshe what to do. But now he's gone. He's the one who's been communicating with Hashem all along. He's the one, you know, in other words, it's like Hashem was, you know, giving like the GPS or like the ways to, and Moshe was therefore, you know, the voice of God, you know, telling them where to go. But now, you know, the internet is down. That's basically what's happening now. Right? There's no signal. Where are we going next? Who's going to show us, you know, and communicate with God as to where we should now go? So therefore, what do they request of Aaron? Nasalonu Moshe Acher. We want a new Moshe. Shor derech lefaneinu, who shows the way. Al pi Hashem. According to God. Not in place of God, but this intermediary. And will communicate with God back to us and show us where to go. And he says, you can see that this was their intent through Aaron's response. V'chein tuchal lavin that mitshuvas Aaron el Moshe Rabbeinu. But when Moshe turns around and says, "What'd you do? How did this happen? He brought Chatah Gadol, this great sin." So where did Aaron respond? I responded, "Well, I told him to bring gold, and I put it, and we put it into the fire." And let me just skip a couple lines. Clearly he says that the people didn't ask for an idol to give life and to kill, and those that the idol wouldn't have, the golden calf wouldn't have powers like a god, that they wouldn't be worshiping it. Right, they wanted something in place of Moshe. That's what they were looking for. Right, you know, the question, Robert asked the question, so why did they kill Chor? So first of all, killing Chor is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, the Medrash, so we, because sort of Chor disappears, so we have a Medrash, but we'll see in a second what happens. Again, obviously something bad is, God gets angry, so we'll have to see why he gets angry. So far, again, it seems like they're not asking for doing all that bad, anything that's really wrong. So what does Aaron do? He fashions a golden calf. Now, why does he fashion a golden calf? So the Chizkuni says, I pointed this out in the past, Chizkuni says it, and I see the Ramban says it as well. See, the Ramban, take a step back. The Ramban opens up his commentary by criticizing Rashi, because Rashi says, I see Yelchu Lefaneinu, Yelchu, that will go before us, is Lashon Rabim. He says, Rashi says, they asked for many gods. Ramban says, well, they weren't asking for many gods. They wanted something to represent Moshe. And sort of they would channel their questions to God through this golden calf. Now, they didn't ask for a golden calf. Right? They don't say, make us a golden calf. What do they ask for? They say to Aaron, make for us Elohim Asher Yelchaveinu. And it's Aaron who makes the golden calf. Why does he make a golden calf? So it brings us back to at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, the Torah says that the Jews on some level saw God. And we know, the Chizkuni Ramban quote the Pesukim from Yechezkel that describe God's chariot. God's chariot has these four different images on his chariot. One is of Adam, one is of a person, one is of an eagle, a calf, and one is of a nesher, I believe, an eagle. One is a lion. I forget what the fourth one is, the fourth image. Anyway, so they're not sure what image should they create that will sort of represent God. And Ramban has a whole Kabbalistic reason why specifically of the four images, he chooses the image of the calf. Not for now, but he gives a reason. But in other words, but what they're doing is that they're not creating something which is another God. They're creating something which represents God. And in fact, that's why the Ramban explains that what does Aaron do? He makes this golden calf. And what does he tell the people? Chag Lashem Machar. He doesn't say Chag La'ego Machar, that it's a holiday for the calf tomorrow. It's a holiday for God. Right? We're going to be worshiping God. Ramban adds, why does he say Machar tomorrow? So first I'll tell you a quick Purim joke. So they I just saw this on Purim. So they asked the question, how do we know that Esther worked for the government? So the answer is because when Esther invited Haman and Achashverosh to her party, what did she say to them? Come back tomorrow. So Aaron too works for the government. He says, come back tomorrow. So why does he say come back tomorrow? So the other Ramban says, because it's a delay tactic. He's hoping Moshe is going to show up. Right? But even when Moshe doesn't show up, Aaron says it's a Chag Lashem. It's not a Chag Laego. It's a Chag Lashem. Because Aaron is thinking and is understanding the request of the people, that the people are frightened. And they don't know what to do, where to go. And Moshe is the one who's been the whole time leading them. And they're now like they're a flock without their shepherd. They have nowhere to go. And so they create this thing which represents God, the eagle, which the calf, which is the image on God's chariot. And so all's good, right? All seems to be like not a big deal, like nothing so difficult. And so and nothing that's in any way sinful in any way. So where do things change, or what goes wrong? So the pasuk says, we read before. Pasuk Vav, Vayashkimu, they get up the next morning. Vayalu, they bring sacrifices. Now, the question is, what are they bringing sacrifices to what? So the Ramban suggests is here is where things began to unravel. And he says there began to be different groups, that some were bringing sacrifices to God, but some began to bring sacrifices to the calf itself. And the way he knows, it doesn't say who they brought sacrifice. It just says, Vayalu olos vayagishu. They brought sacrifices. To who? To what? So again, it could be that they're bringing sacrifice to Hashem. Problem is, that when Hashem explains to Moshe, two psukim later, what's going on, Hashem says the following, Thoram, they've turned away from me, Asher Tivisam. They've made a golden calf. Lo, lo. No, they're bowing down to it. They're sacrificing to it, to the calf. And so Ramban quotes that pasuk here, and he's saying that there certainly were, then there clearly were people who began to worship this image, and to view it as some sort of godly. Not just representative of Hashem, but in itself, its own power. And he basically says the following. He says that there are two types of sins that were occurring here at this moment. He says the one is what he calls Shikaru Rabbeinu Mikatzeit. Our sages call, quoting a Gemara, Maseches Chagiga, of cutting down the saplings, which means that the first thing that they did, what was wrong, is that they began to deny God's unity and His power, and they began to vest some power in the golden calf. They began to view this image with some sort of power. That some sort of godly power. And then the second sin is Vashenis, they actually began to worship this as a deity. So what I think what's basically what the Ramban is suggesting is that, and I think that the takeaway of all this from the Ramban's approach, again, at first glance, as I mentioned when I started, it seems like he's sort of whitewashing what happened. But I think he's saying something very profound. I think he's telling us that often in life, when we do things that are wrong, and in any context, it often doesn't begin on, we don't automatically do something bad. And often we begin in where we think is positive, is you get upset at someone, and so you want to just point out their mistake. You want to correct them, so you begin to have that conversation. But all of a sudden, you get angry, whatever happens, and all of a sudden it goes south. It goes sour. It started off like not that bad, but all of a sudden it transformed into something much worse. What else would be another example that there could be times when I've seen this in business, when sometimes people come from based in, some monetary dispute, argument, or question, a case maybe of someone wound up embezzling funds or engaging some sort of Ponzi scheme. It always starts off okay. It always starts off well. I'm helping the person out. I'm just trying to make the next deal, and like it begins okay, but all of a sudden one thing leads to the next. Before you know it, you're involved in a Ponzi scheme. You're involved in stealing from someone. You're involved in cheating another person. And so What happens in this situation is that the people are generally frightened. They're generally scared, and the Ramban says that basically the role of this calf would be that somehow the calf would represent would be a replacement of Moshe, and just like God communicated through Moshe, so it's not like the calf would do the speaking, but somehow the calf would sort of represent Moshe, quasi Hashem, and maybe the Ramban suggests that Aaron would then be the one that would then receive the communication as to what to do next. Well, they knew that Aaron wasn't the same as Moshe, and therefore they needed something that would sort of represent Hashem, represent Moshe Rabbeinu. And but what happened is they worked themselves into a frenzy, and the Mefarshim all talk about Vayakumu L'tzachek, that involved in some revelry and partying and maybe all type of inappropriate behavior, that they got themselves all worked up, and they forgot what it was that they initially was initial concern, initial issue, and they turned it into something which was much much worse. And Hashem wants to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe has to interject, ask for forgiveness, and part of Moshe's argument is the fact that they were scared, that they were frightened, that he wasn't around. But I think that's like the major message here of and it's a caution flag for us, because so often that we do things that again on the surface are not so bad, but if we're not careful, they can go in a direction that we didn't initially intend. And sometimes things can spiral out of control. And it's not that common where we outright do bad things, that we outright seek to harm other people, that we outright seek to turn away from Hashem. It's usually it's a process, and it's a very slow process. But you see from this story that if we're not careful, it can turn into an avodah zarah, right? It can turn into an idolatry. It can turn into something which is much, much worse than was initially intended, and that's when we have to be most careful in those moments, especially in moments when we may be frightened, moments when we're angry, moments when our emotions begin to control us, and we're not controlling our emotions. When our emotions get the best of us, so then sometimes we can go down roads that we never initially intended for that to occur. So I think what emerges is like this very important lesson that Ramban is teaching us about all of this, about how careful we need to be throughout our lives in all different contexts and situations, whether it's b'nei l'makom, whether it's with our relationship between us and God, or b'nei l'chaver, to how we act with other people, is that you always have to be on guard, and you always have to check your actions and your words and your behavior to recognize that just because something started okay, and you have a good reason to defend your actions and to explain what you're doing, but if you're not careful, sometimes things can unfortunately spiral out of control, which clearly happened with this episode of the Egel Zav of the Golden Calf. Okay, wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.